move into this very comfortable place. We felt that we were pretty well comfortably settled. But our speaker this afternoon has news for us. Brother Zano has selected for his topic, Getting Ready to Move. Brother Zano.
My dearly beloved, it's good to be here today. It's always good to talk about the things that we so dearly love, things that are dearest to our hearts. Last Tuesday evening, we had that special privilege of celebrating the Memorial Feast. What a remembrancer it was of our Savior's death. And what a beautiful service we had. It was perfect. You remember one of our brethren read the account in the 12th chapter of Exodus. The type and to the antitype was discussed. But in the type we remember about how in that night when the death angel passed over, how the children of Israel were commanded to get ready with a staff in their hands and their shoes upon their feet. They were to move to Canaan, journey to Canaan. What a beautiful type that was. The antitype is this, brethren, that from the time that we came under the blood of Christ, made a consecration to the Lord, we too are on a journey. We're moving. We're getting ready to move. Yes, we're running for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The house in which we live, and I lived all my life, is getting very, very much out of order. And repairs do not seem to last long. And a light wind at times causes it to tremble. And repairs do not seem to last long. We're getting ready to move, all of us. You remember Jesus said in John 14:1, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." A mansion reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1:4. Let us never forget that scripture. This house to which we are moving to is in surpassing loveliness. No language can express it. It's so beautiful. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Things which eyes saw not, ears heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him, but unto us God revealed them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Surpassing loveliness, this home to which we are moving to. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, and how true that is, gradually it is being dissolved. The old humanity, the human nature is upon the altar of sacrifice, dying daily, being consumed. This house that we speak of is made without hands. It's eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan. Oh, how often the Lord's people too groan in this tabernacle. All those that have given their hearts in full submission, full consecration to the Lord, are termed in the Bible new creatures, a new creation. God is creating something new, something that never was created before. The grandest and the most beautiful of all creations in all the universe, our Heavenly Father is creating it. Just think how long it is taking since the days of Pentecost, since the days of Lord Jesus, until now, and still it is not quite finished. The new creation, and oh, the Bible is so full of it. Yes, we groan in this tabernacle, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. A new body, a divine body, with a divine nature, the highest nature in the universe. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon. Clothed upon with a new body, a divine body, a body like our Lord Jesus. For we shall see him as he is and share his glory. That's the promise to us. Now we're getting ready to move. Then he goes on to say, that which is mortal may be swallowed up in life. This mortal must put on immortality. That which is so wonderful. And this home has every convenience and every comfort. Every comfort that anyone could ask or even think of. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't he doing that? Every day, think it over. Abundantly. Greater and more beautiful than what we could ask or think. While we're here tabernacling in the flesh. And this all according to the power that worketh in us. The operation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how wonderful to have the Holy Spirit. Then we can walk in the light, even as he is in the light. This power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. That's the church. That's the true church. The only one church. the bride of Jesus, the new creation. Glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and forever. My and your elder brother, our best friend, tells us this. John 15:13-14. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, friends of Jesus, if ye do these things which I command you. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, for all brethren in Christ. Our friend Jesus is talking to us. Jesus formerly lived here upon the earth in a house similar to ours. We've been justified by faith and pleasing to God. In Hebrews 2:17 we read, "Wherefore, brethren, it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren." That's good. "That he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Yes, in 1 John 2:2 we read that he was the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world. I like that thought that has been expressed at our memorial. When John the Baptist pointed his finger to Jesus and he said, "The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin," S-I-N, singular, "the sin of the world." What sin? The Adamic sin. Oh, how grand that is to know that the Adamic sin has been covered. But his Father and our Father has promised this grand home, mentioned above on conditions only, of loyalty and obedience. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith," the finisher of our faith, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and I sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he has offered to share it with you and with me." The throne of God. "To whomsoever overcometh will I grant to sit with me upon my throne, even as I have overcome, and sit down with my Father in his throne." He's invited me, yes, and others. Others, the same condition, invited us to the heavenly home. 1 Peter 2:21. 2 Peter 3:11-14. 1 Peter 1:13-15. You may look these up. "Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ," the last phase of the second coming of Christ, the apocalypsis. Then he goes on to say, to be brought unto you with the revelation of Jesus Christ, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, be yourself also holy in all manner of conversation. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, seeing that those and these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is given to you and to me, friends, way down here at the end of the age, after Peter was telling how the heavens would be on fire, and this great disintegration would take place, and we're in it. We're in it now. And at that time, this message was given to you and to me. Seeing that these things all are to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for the earnest desiring of the coming, the presence, or the parousia of the Lord. Beautiful. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, we've been looking for these things, and here we are in the midst of them. Give diligence that ye may found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Now the one in Peter, the first chapter, 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 21, which also after a true likeness doth now God save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Think of the calling, brethren. Is it worth our while to follow in the steps of Jesus? Is it worth your while to walk in the narrow way of self-sacrifice, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, brethren, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look at the corruption in the earth, in the world today. Pick up your periodicals. The pages are filled with corruption. The Lord tells us here through St. Peter, we've escaped that corruption. How did it come in the world? Through lust. Lust what for? Lust for power. They're all lusting for power. Power over the fellow men. Dictators. Dictators everywhere, all over. We must be careful that they don't come in our own home, in our own church. Lust for power. Oh, brethren, let us never lust for power. I'll read it again. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, 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 self-control. Self-control. Oh, my friends. What does that mean? Control self. Control number one. Not control others. Oh, no. But self. Self control. We're getting ready to move, and these lessons must be learned, and learned well. And then we can have dominion over others in the millennium. Who will have dominion over others in the millennium? This class. They're getting ready to move. This class that will receive the divine nature, they'll have dominion over them in the morning of the millennium, the prophet said. All these things, friends, are to be added while we're getting ready. Is that right? Jesus has been nearly 2,000 years preparing this home. He said that he would go to prepare a place for us, a new creation. He told us that in John 14:1. And he said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That's the new creation, friends. My Father's house, there's many, many mansions. All those mansions, cherubims, seraphims, principalities, powers, angels. Let us not forget the human mansion, paradise. It's lost, but it's going to be restored. The human mansion, yes. Would that be a mansion for the human race? Beautiful. And if you and I are faithful, we'll have dominion over them in the morning. That's right. That's right. And that human mansion will be established here upon the earth in glory and in great power. Oh, what a blessing for the human race. And he tells us that this class are all selected with great care. Great care. Let us read a few scriptures to prove this. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and perfecting holiness in the reverence or the fear of God. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. For those whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And again, that beautiful, beautiful promise. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. To give you the kingdom, yes. Will that mean the home? Yes. Revelation 14:1-5. And I saw, and behold, a Lamb of God standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. This is the class, friends. This is the class that the Lord is selecting. It's taking all of these years to find them. Again we read in Psalms 103:3-7. Telling us how he's gathering all this bride class. And he gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, all over this earth. They wandered in the wilderness and in a desert way. They found no city of habitation. No, they couldn't find a city of habitation here upon the earth. And they searched everywhere. And finally, they found this haven. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto God in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way. It's narrow, isn't it? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. He led them also by a straight way, that they may go to a city of habitation. That's it. It's the city of habitation. That's our home. That's your home, brethren. The great city, the golden city, the divine government that'll come down from God out of heaven adorned as a bride or her husband. Revelation 21:29 emphatically teaches that the golden city, the divine government, is the bride of Jesus with the husband. Beautiful, isn't it? Yes, he's gathered them from the north and the east and the south and the west. And he has furnished us with much information in regard to this home. We're now moving. And the information in this home is beautiful. Beautiful country. There we will see him face to face and be his joint heir. John 3:1-3. And 1 Peter 1:3-8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who according to his great mercy begat he us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Of course, he must be born anew. Oh, how beautiful this is to learn and teach. There must be a beginning, a begettal, and then finally will come the birth into that glorious kingdom. I remember I was serving in Iowa one evening, and a Lutheran minister was invited to come to the meeting. He'd already purchased some of the volumes. He'd heard our dear brother Woodruff give a talk, and he was very much impressed. And I wondered what to talk on, so I decided to talk on the new creation. We talked an hour to show that God was now, during this period of time, selecting a bride for Jesus. The new creation. And he sat before me and listened attentively. And after the meeting, shook my hands, and he didn't comment on the talk, but he said, I know just the hour when I was born of the Spirit. I said, you do? He said, yes. Well, I said, that's wonderful. I won't shake hands with you. I shook his hand. He looked at me so strange, and said, oh, why? Well, I said, you're greater than Jesus was. Well, what do you mean? Well, when was Jesus born of the Spirit? Was he born of the Spirit while he was here upon the earth? Well, well. I never looked into that. But I said, don't you think that first there must be a begettal before there can be a birth? Well, well, he said. You have something there. He said, I never thought of that. Now, isn't that true? There must be a begettal. There must be a beginning before there can be a birth. Well, that was a surprise to this man, but whether he really believed it or not, I don't know. One of my friends has written me that he gave up everything that he had that he might live in one of those mansions. Philippians 3:7-14. Albeit what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things. Paul suffered loss of all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, always found in Christ, morning, noon, and night. Found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by and through faith. Faith in the blood of Christ. And that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, the great resurrection, the chief resurrection, the first resurrection. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I am laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on towards the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, don't you believe that you're getting ready to move? We're all in the race, friends. All in the race for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:10-12. But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecution, suffering, and what things beheld of me, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And now writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, for I am ready, already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. When? When I die? No, he didn't say that. At that day. That glorious day. When the first resurrection would take place. And I believe that he is with now with the Lord. It's already taken place. And not only to me, but also to all them that love his appearing. Love his appearing. Yes, friends, we love his appearing. Others have written me too in the Bible, and they've written you, 2 Peter 1:13. Peter said, "And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to start by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus signified unto me." Jude 24. "Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of the glory without blemish in exceeding joy." 2 John 8 verse. "Look to yourselves that ye lose not those things which ye have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward." The inference here would be that some will not receive a full reward. Isn't that right? The great multitude. Now, I hear that many others, some living in fine houses with bright prospects here upon the earth, are also giving up everything here to live in that home which is promised to us. Matthew 10:37-38. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." And as Christians and new creatures, we're enjoying so much the samples of the fruits he has sent me from that country. Fruits of the Holy Spirit that he sent to you and to me. Galatians 5:22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control." Not temperance, but self-control here properly. "And against such there is no law." Philippians 4:7-9. "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts and minds in Christ Jesus." So finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and heights and depths, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." To be filled with the fullness of God, our pastor said, means the fullness of divine perfection, fullness of pity, fullness of compassion, fullness of love, the fullness of God. "And to," he said, "thou wilt show me the path of life," Psalm 16:11. "In thy presence is fullness of joy, in thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And in traveling, how often we see that sign on the highway, cigarette joy, tobacco joy, pipe joy. Yes. To have a glorious time. My friends, the world of mankind know nothing about joy, do they? No, no. It's those that whom he's selecting today, those that are getting ready to move, they have the joy of the Lord, which is the strength of his people. It's the strength of his people, the joy of the Lord. The more joy, the stronger you are. Joy of the Lord. The less joy of the Lord, the weaker. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we expect to meet those that preceded us, don't we? I think so. Here we are. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. All the seven period of the churches, which is the one divine creation. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life. That wonderful. Fear not the things which thou art about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you in prison. Some of you will be killed. But he did not say, all of you shall be cast into prison. All of you will be killed. Oh yes, we're all beheaded, ostracized for the witness of Jesus. And this has taken place all during the two global wars. Some have been killed. That's right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon that stone a new name written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it himself. The only one that'll know it. And my brother, my elder brother, your elder brother, tells us that he wants us there. And he said, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. John 17:24. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them. That's almost incomprehensible, isn't it? The glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. Each one of us. And he assured us that the Father loves us. Yes, he did. John 16:27, for the Father himself loveth you. That one promise alone is worth a million, isn't it? That's right. Because ye have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. We do. Psalms 103:13. As a father pitieth his children, so God, Father, pitieth them that reverence him. Yes, and he's prepared a great banquet for his people. Great banquet. What would we give to be to this banquet? Ah, friends, we'd give all that we had. I remember reading an article about when Queen Victoria was crowned as queen. Some people paid a fabulous price to go to see it. One man in this land spent $50,000 to be at that coronation. The streets were all covered with flowers and so forth. What would you give to be at this coronation when our great God of the universal crown us with glory, honor, and immortality? Oh, can you visualize, friends, what a banquet that will be, with all the holy angels arrayed in their costumes, spiritual, all spiritual. Yes, and the Lord Jesus coming down the aisle with his bride, and our Heavenly Father will pronounce upon them glory, honor, and immortality. Kings, they shall rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, we read that someone in the 7th chapter of Revelation speaks of getting ready to move. And a voice came from the throne, saying, "Give praise to God and all his servants, ye that reverence him, small and great." And I heard, as it was a great voice, and a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunder, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God, our God, the Almighty reigneth. Let us rejoice and be glad, and exceedingly glad. And let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, for his wife has made herself ready." Getting ready to move, are we? Making ourselves ready. How beautiful. "Write," he said, "write, these things are true." Matthew 25:10, talking about the wise and the foolish virgins. "And while they went away to buy oil," the foolish virgins, "the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and then the door was shut." When they're over there, and the door will be shut. Let us not deceive ourselves. Getting ready now. Ready to move. Isn't this a great event? The greatest in all the universe. "He that testified these things said, Yea, I come quickly, amen." And so we say, "Lord Jesus, come quickly." Our brethren, I pray that you're all getting ready to move. And the Lord's pleased, we'll meet on the other side. And what a banquet that'll be. May the Lord add his blessing. Thank you. Would you spare me a moment? I have a letter I wish to mention. Some of you know our dear sister Nelson up in Washington. Been sick for many years. She writes letters around the country. All the friends, I've been there several times. All the time she's been up there for 36 years, she's always taken memorial alone. Never had anyone in the flesh to take memorial with. And she said she had a beautiful memorial because it was so beautiful this time that she had Brother Pollock's memorial talk. I imagine it must have been on a tape recording. And she said, I'm waiting for my new house. So remarkable. I don't think she ever heard this talk I gave today. But she said, I'm waiting for my new house, which will be glorious and will never need any repairs. And she's been repairing for 36 years. I thought you'd be interested. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Zano, for your very wonderful lesson. We trust that we may always be ready with staff in hand to move on, even willing to give up this very comfortable temple for that house of many mansions in that golden city. May we remind you that next Sunday morning we will open with the Frank and Ernest broadcast, and 11 o'clock Brother Fay will conduct a study on the parable as recorded in the 16th chapter of Luke. Volume 6, study at 145. 3 o'clock, Brother Swanson will speak to us on the topic, the seven trumpets of Revelation. Brother Hall will be in 116th Street, Brother Cooper in Whittier.
Thou who art from eternity to eternity, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, we bow before thee in humility, with thankful hearts, yes, reverential hearts. We thank thee, Father, for all these precious promises which thou hast given unto us. They're so beautiful, and we pray, dear Father, that we may joy in them all, even in the hours of tribulation, that we may have that joy which thou hast promised. We thank thee, dear Father, for that eternal home in the heavens for those that love thee. And we thank thee this afternoon for that kingdom, the nearness of that kingdom, the things that are transpiring before us. We see how gradually these things are coming to pass. A kingdom of righteousness. And we pray, dear Father, that we may be loyal and faithful to thee, loyal and faithful to the truth. The truth means so much to us, Father, for we have sold all that we have to gain the great price. And the great thing which thou hast given unto us is this truth. O Father, we thank thee for it, and we pray that we may be faithful to the truth, faithful to one another. Bless each heart bowed before thee, each home represented here. And we pray, Father, thy divine blessing upon this ecclesia. Bless them in all their endeavors to laud and magnify thy holy name. Bless the work that's still to be accomplished before that great and dreadful day, and bless the little part that we may bear. Now accept our thanks and continue with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.